Well, to state politics now, and South Australian Premier Peter Malinauskas has delivered what he's called a surprise-free budget, declaring he's keeping his word on introducing new taxes. But the state is on track for record debt levels, expected to exceed $50 billion by the end of the decade. The Premier joins me on the line now. Peter Malinauskas, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning, Sally. Good morning to your listeners.
First to house prices. House prices in South Australia have been running pretty hot in the past year or two. Would it be better for the economy in your state for those prices to slow down?
Yeah, look, certainly we would like to see an amelioration of the rate of growth of house prices in South Australia, which have largely outpaced the nation. In fact, we're largely in a point now where the median house price is largely on par with that in Melbourne, which is a position that South Australia is unaccustomed to. And, you know, the truth is it's a function of the strength of the South Australian economy, which has been, you know, which is currently one of the fastest growing in the country. And we've got to do more just to increase housing supply, which is why one of the central features, if not the central feature of our budget that we handed down yesterday, was exactly that, increasing housing supply. Not so that we see a decrease in house prices, I'm not sure that's desirable, but rather just to see an amelioration in that rate of growth that has put housing or home ownership beyond the reach of too many people, frankly.
The federal government's proposed changes to capital gains tax discount and negative gearing, will they help the situation in South Australia? Do you welcome those reforms?
Well, that's what a whole range of independent economists have been telling us for years, Sally. They've been telling us that the treatment of housing as an investment, as per other investments in the economy that are arguably more productive, needs to be addressed. Now, what we've seen that I think is particularly important feature of the federal government's tax changes is an exclusion of new builds. And that largely accords with what my government has been doing for the last few years. Where we've made tax changes, there have been tax cuts, and there have been tax cuts specifically orientated towards increasing housing supply by removing stamp duty on new builds for first home buyers and downsizers. Now, that comes at a cost to the budget, but it has delivered results because we've now got the fastest housing growth rate in the country. So anything that supports housing supply is a policy that we support.
With debt in South Australia projected to exceed $50 billion by the end of the decade, your Liberal counterpart Ashton Hearn says there's no plan to curb the debt levels and One Nation wants to introduce a debt ceiling. Do you understand their concerns? Are they valid concerns?
Well, the first thing is Ashton Hearn says there's no plan to reduce the debt, which is patently false. I'm happy to explain that. More than that, she seems to run around and says we've got to reduce debt and massively increase spending at the same time, which, of course, doesn't make sense. The plan of this government, and frankly the one before us, has been to build these two major infrastructure projects that are necessary for the state. We desperately need a new Women's and Kids for reasons that I won't go into for the purpose of your national listeners, but the current facility is 100 years old and just not appropriate for a modern economy. And the second one is to complete the biggest infrastructure project in the history of our state, which has been decades in the making. And there's one final piece of the puzzle for the non-stop north-south corridor throughout metropolitan Adelaide. Now, those two projects are the reason why debt is going up. Now, our plan to pay it down is pretty straightforward: budget discipline. We're running every single year that my government has been in power. We have delivered a budget surplus by being fiscally prudent, particularly when it comes to recurrent expenditure. We've been able to improve the debt profile of the government relative to what was handed over to us by the former Liberal government. And debt-to-revenue ratios in this budget are actually coming down versus even last year's budget. So, and we've got surpluses forecast right throughout the forward estimates on the back of the ones that we haven't just forecast but actually delivered. So for as long as we maintain that position, we can accommodate the debt from these projects and then make sure it's paid off once they're complete. And I'm very grateful that we've had news overnight from Standard & Poor's that has actually praised the budget and affirmed our AA+ stable credit rating, which is I think it's now the second best in the country outside of Western Australia.
You said yesterday, quote, "We are not increasing taxes in a way that's unexpected by anybody. Was that a bit of a message to your Labor friends in Canberra?
No, it's actually, and I've seen that commentary and I think it's a bit unfair because anyone that looks at everything that I have said at every budget that I've handed my government has handed down, has largely adopted that position and used the exact language that you quote there, which is, so it's not particularly new or surprising to anyone. Look, it is true that we've been very deliberate and focused on making sure that any changes to tax policy we make aren't causing any sort of friction or shock waves. We do want to create a stable investment environment for capital flowing into our state, which we're now seeing occur in greater levels than really any other point in my lifetime. And so just maintaining that approach is one that we think is prudent, but that's been a policy we've had for some time. But there's no way, and I know people have been desperate to have me say something critical about my federal colleagues, but I'm not going to do that because I feel as though we've got great partners in the Albanese Labor government that are delivering a lot for South Australians.
Given the debt that South Australia will be carrying, and given you've said AUKUS is a once-in-a-generation opportunity to transform Australia's economy, how much is riding on this defence deal for South Australia and its future?
It's a fair question. I wouldn't say there's... In the past, when people have thought about the AUKUS policy or shipbuilding policy in the context of the South Australian economy, people have looked at it as though this is something that is necessary in order to stimulate the South Australian economy. Sally, the opposite is true now. The AUKUS build-up has barely begun, and South Australia is already in a position as having one of the strongest economies in the country. And so the AUKUS program is being delivered in South Australia, not to create economic demand in my state, but rather because we have got the capacity to actually deliver it. We are the home of naval shipbuilding in this nation, if not the home of shipbuilding full stop. And, you know, we have the expertise to be able to deliver this in a way that the country desperately needs. Is it true that it still represents a major economic opportunity for us? Of course it is. But I make this point. AUKUS, the task associated with AUKUS industrially is so big and so complex that, frankly, South Australia can't do it on its own. This has to be, if we're going to get this project done and done well, it is a national endeavour. So we need every state and its workforce stepping up to the plate to contribute to the effort.
Premier, thank you so much for making some time this morning.
My pleasure. Cheers.